you ask any commercial or business banker what's the least favorite thing they do in their sales lives, they would likely mostly answer using a CRM. These are great tools, and today we're going to talk about that on 10 Minutes With. Hi, everybody. It's Jack Hubbard, Chief Experience Officer at St. Meyer & Hubbard. Welcome to this program about CRM. Today we have a very special guest, a good friend of our company's and a good friend of mine for many years, David Acevedo. David is Senior Vice President and National Sales Director with 360 View. David has been around banking for a long, long time. He was 27 years at Interchange Bank in New Jersey, a $1.8 billion bank. He was Senior Vice President there and Director of Sales. And for the past 10 years, David has been running the sales operation at 360 View. What a great company. These folks really are terrific people. Kevin, Chris, Lise, David, their team does a terrific job. One of the things I really like about 360 View is their desire and ability to customize things for marketing campaigns and customer profitability and goal tracking, incentives, custom dashboards. One of the things they're doing for us, for one of our clients, is to create some customized reporting for sales management, for the number of team meetings people are using and the number of the check-ins that they do and the kind of check-ins they do and some records that they're capturing. And it's always been kind of fascinating to me that you look at 360 View or others as CRM systems from a customer perspective. But even a manager has customers, and if they're managing those 8 or 10 or 12 associates, they should have ways in an automated fashion to be able to track what they're doing from a coaching perspective, and 360 View is helping with that. They do an annual conference every year that I've had the privilege of speaking at in the past, and they are the real deal. They've been around for a long, long time, have more than 200 clients and banks and credit unions, and one of the top and one of the premier banking CRM systems. David talks about in this program how to find some good CRM systems to use, what are some criteria you should be thinking about, and a variety of other different kinds of things. It's a good discussion. Hope you enjoy the 360 View. 10 Minutes With David. Welcome to the program.
Well, Jack, thank you so much for the opportunity to spend 10 minutes with you. My name is, of course, David Acevedo. I'm with 360 View. We provide performance tools for banks and credit unions, helping them best automate their sales, service, and marketing solutions. Just a little bit about my background before we get into it. I spent most of my career on the banking side, having served 27 years with about a $2 billion commercial bank based in New Jersey, where I was the director of sales and marketing for the financial institution. Had the opportunity to join the team at 360 View 10 years ago, and had the privilege of working with, well over 100 community banks since joining the team at 360, helping them best implement tools to grow their financial institutions. Anyway, I thought the things, you know, some of the things that we hear a lot, you know, are, you know, the five things to consider when purchasing a CRM. We get a lot of questions about what should I be looking for when I'm, you know, kind of venturing into looking at a solution. So I've come up with kind of, you know, some key things to consider when purchasing a CRM. The first thing, you know, we hear so much about silos within financial institutions, and you've got commercial working in you know, one way, and you've got your retail operation functioning in a different, you have operations operating in their own way as well. But everybody has a unique need for a solution, and it doesn't have to be that one solution and one way of doing things fits all. However, one solution should be able to fit all. So we encourage, when we're talking to prospects and we're talking to clients that are looking for an enterprise-wide solution, something that's going to be flexible enough to be able to accommodate the lending side, whether that is automating a pipeline system, whether that is being able to best, track call reporting, whether that's best, to be able to track, a tickler system for reminders, each year for updated financials. So it's got to be able to accommodate the needs of each. When it comes to, the retail side, it's got to be flexible enough to be able to automate maybe a referral process. Maybe it's tracking and automating incentive plans. When we look at operations, something to be able to automate that service aspect, whether it's, a client reporting a Reg E claim or an issue with their account, and being able to take that service item, route it to a support area, and then be able to, create some follow-ups and workflows around those. So again, it's got to be something that, can be flexible enough to accommodate the needs of each area within the bank. Another key component to look at is portability. One of the things that makes 360 View unique is that we are a portable system. And what that means is the core systems, of course, offer a CRM solution. What happens in many cases, financial institutions are required to do their due diligence and evaluating their core every few years. And we've seen a number of institutions that have gone through core conversions. That data that you may have with a CRM built into the core provider stays with the core system. With 360 View, we move with you. So our solution that sits outside of the core becomes portable. So that history, all of that data that you've built up within the CRM tool moves with you. So it's as simply as remapping data and, during that core process or that core change and without any loss of information. Another key component, I talked about this with the enterprise-wide solution, is really having a flexible tool. When we look at, when we talk to institutions, one of the key things they like some type of, we'll say, out-of-the-box solution. You see CRM systems that require a complete build-out of a process. In those cases, it could take you up to, it could be 2-3 years to implement a solution. But you've got to have a solution that's going to be somewhat out of the box, but also be flexible enough to support your sales and service strategy. So many times, financial institutions come to us and they look for a CRM tool that's going to solve all of their problems. They're saying, well, gosh, we want to create a sales culture. We need to improve our service process. I turn it around and say, you don't want a tool creating that process for you. You want a tool that's going to be able to support your sales and your service strategy. So it's got to be flexible enough. So if you say, this is the way we do business here at our bank, that tool has to support that that strategy, whether it's this is the way we want our referral process to work, or this is the way when we bring in a new loan application, we want it to flow through this process. A CRM solution should be flexible enough to support your strategy. It shouldn't be that you have to fit your strategy into a specific tool. There are so many things happening, when we look at, I just got back from the Financial Brand Forum, and you think of everything that's happening in the fintech and even just, the digital world here. One of the key components for when considering is to have a solution that we'll say plays well with other systems, and I say integrations. There are so many tools out there for whether it's, analytical tools or, tools for onboarding and things of that nature. A solution should have the ability, whether it's through an API, to integrate with other solutions as well. So, and as the world is changing dramatically, you don't have a system that can speak to other systems. You're setting yourself up for, a real disadvantage. It puts you in a a better position to not have one solution, but to have a solution that will, again, play well with other systems. Additionally, reporting. You know, and we'll get into some of the things to consider in a few moments about, you know, what to, when you're implementing a CRM, what key components will make it successful. But reporting is absolutely, you know, paramount, particularly when it comes down to the executive team. They're not going to be your hands-on day-to-day in the CRM. However, what they're going to want is key reporting. They're going to want to look at that kind of 20,000-foot overview of what's happening in the world, whether that is what loans are funding over the next 30 days, what key metrics have been achieved by our team, where there may be potentially on a service side bottlenecks or issues that maybe go unnoticed. So your reporting system should be flexible enough to provide really key information. Most CRM systems will come out with some canned reports, and the canned reports are great to get you started, but I would also encourage you when looking at a CRM is to look for something that has the ability to write your own reports. Because as we know, there are probably, you know, no two reports that are gonna look the same or gonna satisfy the needs of every financial institution. So you should have something that provides you with the flexibility to write your own reports to support the things you're looking for within your organization. You know, it's interesting. I meet with a lot of executive teams, and even during our process of bringing on a new client, some of the key things they'll say to me is, well, you know, what's the ROI on a CRM solution? And I really kind of turn it around to the bank. There is no magic formula that's going to say you're going to achieve XYZ on implementing a CRM. We tend to look at, you know, of course, there's a big investment here. We want to, you know, ensure our return. But there's so many variables. And I will say this, the number one variable to me when looking at implementing a CRM and to guarantee success is executive buy-in. I have met with line managers who recognize the need that they need a CRM tool. But when you don't have that executive buy-in and you're having to sell upward why you need it, you're at a disadvantage. One of the most important areas is to have the executives recognizing the need to have a solution. And they'll come to us and they'll say, well, the reason, you know, we need it is because we don't have a handle on who our maybe top customers are. Or maybe we, you know, don't have the tool to ensure that we are reaching out to our top customers, maybe from a loyalty perspective. And maybe, you know, or we're looking at, you know, we don't really know who our bottom customers are and how do we grow relationships. So I think executive buy-in to me is the number one areas that guarantees success. When the executives recognize the need for a CRM, and I'll say they also then make this a way of life within their organization. When they start, you know, doing the reporting and they start speaking the language and about, you know, what's happening in the CRM tool, that's when you really guarantee your success. You know, CRM means something different to every financial institution. And you could have a tool that offers you a profitability component. You know, you've got your referral tracking, your service module. You may potentially have goals and incentive reporting and tracking and analytics and you name it. It's almost information overload. I, you know, as a former banker, implemented CRM as well. And we took the approach that, you know, there had to absolutely be a phased in process to implementing the solution. The worst thing you could do is one day is, you know, the executives had determined that we need this, you know, this great tool to help support our sales and service strategies at the institution. And then all of a sudden flip a switch and one day you roll this out to your employees and it's information overload. So we recommend, you know, a phased in approach. You know, understanding what your goals are. I mean, there are many reasons why, you know, maybe you're considering a CRM solution. Maybe the key reason is that we want to automate an incentive plan. Maybe we want to automate our referral program, or maybe you've bought it because you want to start out with automating some of the operational tasks, such as lost ATM cards or Reg E claims or customer complaints or things of that nature. Whatever your reasons are, we do recommend that there be a phased in approach. I will say that we have learned in doing this for many years that this type of philosophy guarantees better user acceptance and a sure win for your employees as they now learn the benefits of using a tool to create efficiencies for themselves in their daily workflow. My third kind of tip for guaranteeing success is bank-wide ownership. I'll share a quick story with you. I remember when we, at the bank that I had come from, we were looking at this tool and we struggled initially with where do you place it? You know, who owns it? And we get that question a lot today from clients and prospects. Who owns the CRM system? And again, to me, there is no one owner of a CRM solution. Now, IT may have a certain function and marketing will have a certain function, but this tool is owned by all of the key areas of your organization, whether that's retail, commercial, IT, marketing. Everybody has an ownership in this system. Now, IT may have certain responsibilities. Maybe you want them responsible for adding new employees or updating parameters and things like that. But the ownership, it's not an IT solution. And I will say that, you know, at the onset here, it's not an IT solution. It's a sales and service solution and should be owned by those key areas that support those functions. But again, you know, we also recommend is that there be a, you know, CRM committee built in within the organization. If you're looking at implementing a tool, you have, representatives from each key area that meet quarterly and, you know, talk about maybe new ideas for how we're going to use the tool and ensuring that, you know, everybody is, so that the tool is being, you know, widely accepted. But again, there's no, you know, one key owner of that system. And this is kind of my mantra, and I use this, and I've used this, and I preach this. If it didn't happen in 360 view, in our case, it didn't happen at all. So many times we hear, well, gosh, you know, our employees are not using the system. And I turn it back to the bankers and I say, well, how are you running your pipeline reports or how are you managing your incentives or how are you doing this? They say, oh, we're doing it outside of this. Well, why aren't you doing it in the system? Well, employees are not using it. Well, that all has to be integrated within the solution. If it didn't happen in 360, it didn't happen. And that ultimately could affect somebody's compensation or incentive payout if it didn't happen within the tool. Then maybe you're not going to get credit, you know, for something. When you go into your loan committee meetings or even your ALCO meetings or a sales meeting, the reporting that you provide should be reporting that comes out of your solution. Those are sure ways to guarantee success and user acceptance of your tool. And the last, you know, piece to guarantee success when, and I say implementing or even sometimes re-implementing, because there are times that an institution may have bought a CRM and maybe they didn't implement the right way. Sometimes you have to take a step back and reevaluate what you've done and consider, you know, a re-implementation. But I will say that training is absolutely a paramount tip in guaranteeing success. And I don't mean initial training either. Training at the initial onset when your employees are learning the tool, great. Speak to your process and how are we doing things at our financial institution. You train them on the hows of doing things within the CRM. I find in so many cases, training becomes an event in many institutions. And it happens when you introduce the system and it never happens again. And then what we say is that, Jane at the main office, she's going to be the official trainer. And when she has time, we're going to send new employees over to visit, you know, with Jane, and she's going to teach them how to do things. Well, you know, Jane's busy with a lot of other things within the bank and may not be, you know, maybe the initial training Jane gives are very thorough, But as it kind of goes on, Jane has other responsibilities. Training has to be a setup process within your institution. And as you train employees on all of the things in banking and the do's and don'ts and of things in banking, and we do so much operationally training, CRM has to be part of that training program as well. This is the way we do business at our financial institution. When we visit with a prospect, this is how we update an activity, and we talk about logging information. When we meet with a client over a loan, this is our process for implementing that loan and pushing it through our sales funnel. When we're meeting with a client maybe who has a complaint about something, of a deficiency within the organization, this is how we report and we track that particular issue, because we want to make sure at the end of the day, the CRM is a tool for employees to create efficiencies, but ultimately, let's face it, we're all concerned about customer experience, and having a tool in place that's going to support your experience with your customers is going to give you an edge in the marketplace above your competitors. So I can't understress the need for ongoing training as part of new employee or promoted employees as part of your internal processes as well.
Well, you've provided a lot of great information in a short period of time, David. And so I have a few questions for you. The last question I want to ask you, and you can be sort of thinking about it, is bankers will want to know from banks and credit unions, okay, what's next? What's on the horizon for CRM systems? If you look in your crystal ball, you've done this a long time. What are you seeing out there for the next 2 or 3 or 5 years? So we can be thinking about that. But one comment that I really am pleased that you talked about, and that's the whole idea of training. It's fascinating to me when we go into a client how they just want to do some sales training. And frankly, we just won't, we won't work with a client if they just want to do sales training. It needs to be integrated with the CRM, the marketing, the IT, the executive suite, et cetera. And so the training needs to be horizontal, not vertical. The CRM system is not in a silo. It's a tool that should be used, as you've very articulately mentioned, in a variety of different kinds of ways. And certainly one of the things that I just talked about and you alluded to, but I'd love to get your take on it a little deeper, is the whole idea of marketing integration into the CRM. A lot of marketing departments use an MCIF or those kinds of systems, and then there's a different CRM for the sales folks. Yes. 360 View is all integrated. Talk about marketing integration and some of the things your clients are doing to make sure that marketing and sales are kind of tightly connected.
That's a great question. And thank you for bringing that up. I'll say this, Jack, and, back in, the early, mid to 90s, every bank was, looking at MCIF systems. And everybody said, we've got to have an MCIF. And MCIFs provided great information. However, MCIFs back in the day, and I ran the system, everything was back office, driven. So I could analyze and slice and dice and do everything. But everything I had to get out, I had no front end tool to provide some type of value to my front end. I say at the end of the day, MCIF systems are great. What they are is just information. If you don't have a CRM tool, which is a front end solution that can help manage that information and push that information to the front line and make that information actionable, then all you've got is information. And there's the key difference between an MCIF and a CRM. And I will say one of the things that we've done well is that we've built the MCIF capabilities within 360 View. But again, I'll say more importantly, you take that information and you push it into the hands of the people that can do something with it. So that information now becomes actionable and reportable information. For instance, You are looking to, as I mentioned earlier, about your loyalty programs for your most profitable or high net worth customers. Well, wouldn't it be great to have a system that's actually constantly updating to be able to see who are those customers? And maybe we create a program that automates touch points with them over, an annual basis. Maybe there's, a dinner, or there's letters that go out, or a gift, or something that recognizes their loyalty. In addition to that, many institutions today struggle with automation of an onboarding process. Okay, so I bring a new customer into the bank, and we want after 2 days a phone call to be made, and 2 weeks later we want a letter to go out. And again, those the onboarding programs have become much more sophisticated at this point as well. Today, many banks are manualing any of those touch points in a manual basis. They write a note, and they're creating an Outlook reminder. Your calendar is bombarded with information. Think about the benefit of a tool that recognizes any time that a new customer joins your institution, and now pushes that new customer through a workflow that you designate that says, we want these 10 things to happen over the next 6 months. I mean, they do say it on average. I just did a presentation at Financial Brand about this, and within the first 6 months of a new customer's tenure with your institution, there should be 6 to 9 touch points that happen. Now, those touch points, of course, need to happen according to the way the customer wants to be communicated with, whether that's text message and a combination of the above, email, phone call, and so forth. I'm a big provider of not just, overselling either. You sell and serve as a customer when it's appropriate. And sometimes providing, valuable content and information should be incorporated into your onboarding process because, you want to be perceived as that trusted financial advisor, not just somebody that's, pushing product. But the CRM solution provides that tool to automate all of those processes. So, you're providing efficiencies for your front end. And then on the back end also, that ability to slice and dice your customer base and report on the success of your onboarding programs. The marketing solutions should also have, an integration with an email marketing system as well, and be able to push data out, so that, you're not having to create these, one-off type emails. So, again, the MCIF systems are great, but I look at institutions today that tell me the MCIF systems that they have in place are only being updated, once or potentially twice a month. The CRM solution is updating every day, so the information you have is current. If you're basing information on an MCIF system and you're running campaigns or making decisions, you potentially are making decisions based on old information. And that is one of the key differences as well on the MCIF versus the CRM tool.
And before we get to our last question about where you see CRM going, I'll just make a couple of quick comments. You could buy CRM on the internet for very little money. In fact, I'm seeing a lot of them that allegedly are free. I've been to the 360 View offices. I know David well, and Joyce and Keith and Kevin and Chris and their team. I've seen them in action, and I've seen them work with clients. And they have an annual client meeting down in Nashville where they live their honesty message and trust-based message. They don't push their product. They have speakers come in, and they really try to add value. So these are the kind of people that when you're looking at a system like this, it's not just the software, it's the people behind it. Are they improving things going forward? And one of the things that I'm very impressed with, and we're working with a particular client with David's group now, is think about this. We've talked for years about automating client information. But what about sales management information? Sales managers, when they do one-on-ones or they do a team meeting or they do some coaching, they have to use paper. Well, one of the reasons that adoption is lower on CRM than you'd like is, to David's point, is that the executive suite and the managers don't know how to use it as well as the employees. So what we're working with 360 View on right now is to create a way for managers to actually have their people be prospects or opportunities or incidents or whatever we are going to call it, so that now if I do a check-in with David, a one-on-one, I can put my notes right into the system in a private way, so that the next time I meet with David, I can go over his action plan and I can use my notes to have the next check-in. No more paper. Why would you use paper if you've got this terrific technology? And that's one of the things I'm impressed with 360 View on, is their ability and to be so client focused, listen to their clients, and create new things that the clients are going to need going forward, because this thing is moving pretty quick. So David, my last question then, what's next? What's on the horizon for CRM systems?
You know, I think the big thing this particularly I heard, you know, that was kind of the theme at Financial Brand as well, is, you know, is analytics. And I'll say this, you know, you're hearing the buzzwords right now. They're artificial intelligence. The world is moving so quickly, Jack. And I will say the amount of information that is being made available is tremendous. And I don't even think at this point most even know, grasp what that really will mean to our financial institutions. I will say, though, that this information is really the next phase, is taking some of this information and hopefully getting it embedded within a CRM tool that will provide you with better decision making, a better targeted audience for moving your products to the right customer at the right time. You know, I think those are the so I think, you know, a lot of the analytics, the artificial intelligence, all of this information is really where we're seeing the next phase. You know, it's interesting, when I was talking this week, last week at the conference as well, you know, I spoke about, you know, that's great and that information is going to be wonderful, but there are still things you can do today. And, you know, we have a wealth of information that we get from our customers today. Maybe it's in disparate systems, or we get it on a loan application, or we're obtaining it through the new account opening process. You know, you're still getting a lot of that information. You just don't have a portal or a place to put that information. And so your CRM tool, you know, provides you with a source for, you know, kind of warehousing that information. But I think what you're going to see over the next couple of years is better use of external information that's going to put bankers in a better position to, I'll say, service their customers. You know, it's interesting, you know, particularly with the millennial generation, you know, not only having a tool is going to be paramount for hiring, recruiting, but also this generation is expecting you. It's interesting, expecting you to know more about them. It's not just, you know, there's no invasion of privacy on in this generation, you know, so not having the tools to, you know, better service me as a client the way, you know, that's going to be very targeted, I think is you're going to put yourself at a, you know, kind of a disadvantage. So I think that's really the future here. And I think banks are all starting to hear about it. It's buzzwords right now, but I think we're going to start to see more and more use of the external intelligence in helping us provide better service to our clients.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I think that it's unfortunate that a lot of times community banks have pity parties for themselves, and they're kind of negative thinkers, and they, well, we don't have the resources, and we can't afford it, and frankly, I don't think they can afford not to. There are a lot of great solutions like yours that can be had for not a lot of dollars, and the price of ignorance is really staggering to me. We see a lot of different kinds of CRM systems. There's, you know, Salesforce.com and Microsoft Dynamics and SageWorks and things like that. But for my money, and we certainly don't recommend just one system, but for my money, 360 View has got to be on your radar and in your final two or three if you're considering either A, developing and getting a CRM system for the first time, or modifying or changing your CRM system. If you're not considering 360 view and David's company, you're at a significant deficit. David, thanks so much for being with us today. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Jack, my pleasure, and thank you, Sir Ryan, for speaking with me.
David, great to hear from you today on 10 Minutes With, and we were thrilled and honored that you were able to join us. Hope you enjoyed the program, everybody. If you're interested in reaching out to David Acevedo, it's DACEVEDO at 360view.com. David can be reached at 201-264-2022. David, again, thanks for joining us, and thank you for joining us on these 10 Minutes With programs. This is the 15th program that we've done. Some are in the can, some are on our website, and if you'd like to see any or all of them, go to smandh.com. If you'd like a specific program that we've done, whether it's a marketing program or a sales program or something from a best-selling author like Rena Plappler or Charles Green, reach out to me personally, Jay Hubbard, at smandh.com or 847-717-4328. Thanks for joining us, and stick around for the next 10 Minutes With.